Blog Talk Radio.
National New York edition with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. It's 10:30 a.m., 45 degrees and cloudy here in Brooklyn, New York. And I have to apologize for our special Martin Luther King's Day birthday celebration show. I had a very rare speech of his all queued up, and I don't think it started. I didn't listen. I wasn't here. That's why I had set it up remotely, but this platform is very restrictive in that regard. It just doesn't cooperate very well. But it is what we have to work with right now, so we're working with it. And we had expected to be simulcast on another platform and this platform at the same time. However, things took a turn south last year, January 7th, 2019, when my girl and partner passed away. Today is her birthday, actually, so I'm wishing her a happy birthday and that sort of thing. Posthumously, unfortunately, but you know, things are what they are. So, we've gotten through the impeachment. There's supposed to be a vote today with a final vote on Wednesday, which we assume will acquit Donald John Trump of any guilt, in the two articles of impeachment that were brought by the House. And it's a shame. It really is, because the man is definitely guilty. And this is why some African Americans, not all, have tremendous problems with the criminal justice system. Even though this wasn't a criminal justice, this is more the court, but it was a composite of what we can expect to happen there. For young brothers and sisters that are unfortunate enough to get caught up in that system, you will not get any justice. If it's run by these white males who don't feel the law applies to them. And don't get it twisted. Yes, they do get caught up, but they get caught up 9 times out of 10 when they're on a lower socioeconomic ladder. Trust me, middle class and below. The upper middle class and wealthy whites do not. And I would challenge anyone to prove me wrong. They do not go through the system like the average person, black, white, or anything in between. And Donald John Trump is an example. Because there is no way, there's too many lawyers that I've spoken to, and I know I should actually bring one on the show, but I've decided some time ago after I was interviewing the chancellor of the State University of New York and Blog Talk Radio cut me off in the middle of my show, that I would no longer bring anyone on the show until I move to another platform. I simply cannot risk that type of damage to my credibility. That was outrageous, and no apology, no nothing. They just kept it moving. So, when you're talking about, the chairman of the board of the State University of New York, which is my alma mater, so I was very embarrassed and very, very angry, and I decided that, for those that are wondering why I no longer have guests, that is the reason, because this platform is not to be trusted, and for them not to apologize after that debacle, you know, debacle, was just unacceptable. And I did have to call back to the office and apologize and everything. It got very ugly, you know, for me, because, you know, that was somewhat, you know, Carl McCall is the chairman of the board, and, you know, elder and a statesman in our community, a black man, lawyer, has been around for many, many, many years in New York politics. And it was outrageous. I really am still annoyed about that, you know, because, you know, when those doors shut firmly because of things like that, you don't get a chance to get back inside. It is that simple. So anyway, going back to 45, yeah, he's if he wasn't, first of all, if he wasn't president, he wouldn't even have a security clearance. I don't even know that he has a security clearance. I think that he is sensitive intelligent information, intelligence is shared with him, Signal and HUMIT, only because he is president of the United States. I am quite positive and can state emphatically that the intelligence community does not want to share anything with this man. I know that for a fact, because he's a blabbermouth, he's a braggart, and anything they share with him is bound to be in the possession of our adversaries 5 minutes after it gets shared with him. So he's also a traitor, you know, beyond being imbecile and inept. And I just, you know, you see these lemmings, I call them, you know, his supporters all over social media talking about he is, quote-unquote, the greatest president ever. To who? The man is a moron, and there is nothing great about him, and he is certainly not president. He is president in name only, just like he likes to call out the, quote-unquote, F-A-K-E, fake media. He is a fake president, but we have to deal with him for until November, and we're hoping that not beyond that. But, you know, you have a lot of, you know, black folks who need to come out in mass that are vacillating, or even supporters. I mean, I know some brothers that actually support Trump, presumably because of his tax cut, which has proven to be a bust. And the sad thing about it is that the recession is coming. I mean, those tax cuts are going to have to be paid for. That is simple. There is no getting around it. And if they're not paid for, oh well, then we're going to have a recession to deal with. So that's where we are with that. So there is some procedural issues that are going to be, or procedural matters that are going to be dealt with in the Senate this morning relative to the impeachment. And from what I understand from the media, mainstream media, some of the broadsheets are reporting that the final vote to acquit is going to be on Wednesday, which is my birthday, by the way, February 5th. The president I would like to have is him out of office, being unceremoniously thrown out of office. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen simply because you have too many Republican senators that think the reason they're there is to be reelected, not to actually do any work. So we're in a season where, you know, you have a tremendously president with no checks on that authority, I mean, it's just going to be, I mean, it has trouble written all over it, you know, them allowing him, you know, no, and this is what you deal with, you know, when you deal with these people, man. I mean, it's just no accountability. It's hypocrisy, rank hypocrisy at its highest level. I mean, there's no other way to characterize it, because no one else could get away with a fraction. I'm not even talking about a quarter, eighth, 16th, 32nd, 64th, 128th, 250. You know, I mean, no one could get away with a fraction of what Trump has gotten away with throughout his tumultuous tenure. It's been almost 36 months now. And, you know, I mean, bumbling his way through foreign policy, mistaken foreign leaders through ineptitude and inability to focus and to read briefing books, and, you know, making preposterous statements, getting on international media and talking about he's the greatest, and, you know, the economy has never been as great, and which is bull crap. And the jobs that he talks about, you know, if we bring it back to economic perspective, are in the service, retail, and fast food sectors. So those blacks that he claims are working that weren't working prior to him, those people are beneficiaries of an economy that doesn't allot them the ability to even rent an apartment in any major city in the United States, probably most small and medium sized cities in the United States. You know, I don't know what the rent average is. We don't do housing, and we don't talk enough really about housing, affordable housing in this country. But I would imagine that, you know, at minimum wage, which is $7.25 an hour, which is the federal minimum wage. So a lot of the deep South states in the deep South, or deep South states, however you want to frame it, only pay that. So I, you know, I remember when I was a working stiff, you know. And I don't, you know, working job, I don't know how a person lives on $20 an hour. So it's inconceivable to me that somebody could live on $7.25 an hour. I just don't know how that is possible. And I don't think it's possible. So those are the jobs that he's talking about. So I guess if you string together two or three of those type jobs, service, retail, and fast food, and don't sleep and don't see your family if you have one, you may be able to get a room somewhere for $100 a week and then pay your insurance to keep up your hoopty, because you're certainly not going to have a late model car where everything is $200-$300 when you go into the technician shop. You know, and that sort of thing. So that's where we are with that. Let's take a break, come back on the other side of the break, finish talking about the coronavirus, which is currently ravishing certain parts of China. We have business interests over there, so it's really hindering us. out of here in Brooklyn, New York, and we were talking on the other side of the break about Chump, Brain Dead, Comic Con, Bark, a.k.a. Coolest Clown, who is poised to walk away unscathed from his attempt to coerce the Ukrainian president into digging up dirt on Joe Biden, all in an effort to boost his election, re-election campaign. Just announce it. He didn't actually want to want an investigation. He just wanted to announce to smear the Bidens. And he succeeded in doing that because, you know, all that stuff came in the public sphere, and then you had these numbskull GOPers that were suggesting that it is pertinent, it is relevant, and it's not. Trust me. There is no court on earth that would allow Hunter Biden to testify in Trump's trial had they followed, you know, had they been required to follow rules of judicial rules, rules of procedure, and certainly rules of evidence. So I don't quite know where these lawyers, if they are lawyers, I think they're tabloid lawyers, are coming from when they try to make that argument to laymen, people that aren't lawyers that don't know the law, or even the nuances and subtleties of law. So it just wouldn't happen. Trust me, believe me when I say this from a expert perspective. So I don't know where we go from here. I really don't. I've been thinking about this long and hard, and it is it's a crazy situation. Where you have, you know, these people that are, you know, because, you know, the thing is, and I've said this on social media, you know, he's obviously cut a deal with the GOP. Don't bother me. Let me double deal. Let me, you know, earn some money while I'm in the office, extort, you know, bumble my way through foreign policy. And that's not what I wrote exactly. But I'll sign into law all your wish list legislation, retrogressive legislation at that. And I'll also nominate judges that enforce that legislation. So what's happening here, and we talk about this a lot on this show, and then I want to get to the coronavirus, is that these people know that they're waning majority. They will, you know, in another, I don't even know if it's 20 years, you know, maybe 10 years or so, you know, 20, 30, they're going to be in the minority. It'll probably be the Hispanics first, and then us, and then the Asians, and then them. And so what they're doing is they're ensuring that the infrastructure is there to preserve their prerogatives. It's that simple. I mean, there's not. I mean, you don't have to do a deep dive on this stuff. You know, they just ensure, just like apartheid in South Africa, you know, in Zimbabwe, until, you know, Mugabe, you know, before he turned corrupt, you know, he was instrumental in seeing that, you know, one man, one vote, and it was the same in South Africa, but the whites still owned everything, you know, all the prosperous farms and that sort of thing. So now we're confronted with the coronavirus. Now, I was saying that I do some, you know, I have a relationship with Alibaba, which is the eBay of China. I actually had to cancel my orders. One of the other orders got stuck up by one of the vendors, and we're waiting for the money to be returned now. But we're in a situation where this is the first time we've had a virus that transitions so rapidly. This is the danger in this year, and it's a killer. You know, it's already taken the lives of a few hundred people. You know, so it's not. You know, and one of the brothers in the group that I'm on Facebook posted horrifying pictures of, you know, people in the hospital and dead bodies laying on the floor, and it's incomprehensible. But this is a trial run for the CDC, which I believe is incompetent. I don't get it twisted. They have very good doctors and scientists over there, but I believe they're not led by, you know, I believe the leadership is not effective. And again, this goes to the white boy club, where, you know, they, 'cause these people are very well compensated, you know, even though they're on a government dole, they're still very well compensated. Typical compensation has got to be in the six figures for these people. And and they're not prepared for a pandemic. You know, in California, as of yesterday, there were 11 confirmed cases of coronavirus. So if this gets out of hand, you know, so you could just imagine, you know, something that's like, you think this is bad, you know, we're talking about. But the other thing, you know, I was trying to think of the name of the other virus that in Liberia and Sierra Leone. I can't think of it right now, but it'll come to me as I'm talking. But I was just thinking about this, and no one has said anything about it in the mainstream media, that when the people, it was some whites, white Americans that had gone to these areas and contracted that particular virus. And again, you got to forgive me, I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head. It'll come to me in a second. Ebola. They were given an antidote, and it was very quiet, and they were all cured. Every single one of them that came back, but all the Africans and the African, you know, the blacks that contracted it died. Even the ones that returned that were, you know, American citizens or whatever. And I was like, wait a minute, why isn't the mainstream media picking up on this? And this is why, you know, these institutions that we have that are still run primarily as white boy clubs, this is why we need a black media, because no one picked up on the fact that every single one of those whites that went to Sierra Leone or Liberia and contracted Ebola got the antidote in time to cure them. So that, I mean, it takes a long time. I'm not a scientist, but I do read voraciously, and I know for a fact that it takes years to develop an antidote to something like an Ebola virus or a virus, period, because of how it changes, how, you know, its coat is made of proteins. So anyway, I don't want to get into the scientific explanation because I'm not a scientist, so I might get something wrong. But the fact that they were able to come up with this quote-unquote antidote so quickly that actually cured these people that contracted it, man, leads one, you can't but believe that they had it all along. And the same with this coronavirus thing. They said that they're going to go to trial with an antidote in 6 months. What? Think about that. 6 months. So that means that, you know, it's a former avian flu virus. This is what they suspect, because it was another major case of, you know, some birds being infected. And the Chinese, the other part of it is, without broad stroke, the entire group, because they eat everything. And it is thought that this particular virus it came from an infected bat that someone had consumed, which is why I always say, man, I say there are just simply things that I'm not going to eat. You know, insects and rodents, I'm not going to eat. I'm just not. I'm almost a vegetarian now, and I would become a full-on vegetarian if I had to consume that. So we're going to talk about this more next week and come back with more on the saga of Donald John Trump. So keep it tuned in. Keep it tuned in to our other hosts right here at MPI, and have a great week.